can listen to that all morning long.
You betcha. Hot Fun in the Summertime with Sly and the Family Stone.
Sly and the Family Stone.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg and your host, Mike Wiggins, and the Garden Line requested this song from Sly and the Family Stone.
One of my favorite summer songs. And of course, there's one little line in there about school being out.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to welcome all the spring breakers
who are tuned
in to the Garden Line this morning.
Yeah. I think they might be snoozing after yesterday. What do you think?
Could be.
High probability.
Maybe one or two that are sitting on the beach listening to us.
Okay.
And if so, welcome to Pensacola.
It's
good to have you here.
Hot fun in the summertime.
Hot fun in the summertime. Of course, it's 40 degrees. It felt like
I wasn't going to say anything when you requested the song, but okay, Mike, it's your show.
That's okay. The weather means everything to gardening, of course.
For sure.
I think we're out of the frost and freeze area. As a matter of fact, I looked it up because I felt so cold this morning. We should be out of the 40s.
Okay.
By April 7th.
Promises, promises.
And that's soon.
Yeah, that's not soon. That far. I mean, just a couple of weeks, right?
Exactly. Should be no more 40.
Okay, I'm going to hold you to it.
I know. I hope so. April is a beautiful month. It really is. In Pensacola, so many things are blooming. The dogwoods are out. And the dogwoods, which have had so many problems over the years, in my neighborhood, are just looking absolutely gorgeous.
Mm.
And so it's just fun to drive around and see everything just starting to pop out. My crepe myrtles are starting to put on
new growth. I've seen azaleas, the pink. They're beautiful.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to talk a little bit about those azaleas.
What's going on with that? They seem to be everywhere.
They're everywhere. It's just beautiful. That's why this is such a wonderful time of year. So I thought what we might do, just have a little bit here and talk about the azaleas in Pensacola. And some of the varieties that are out
I've
there.
I've just seen these hot pink ones.
Exactly.
I don't recall. I mean, I remember seeing red and some other color, but for some reason, right in my neighborhood, I'm seeing hot pink.
Right, exactly.
Is that a particular kind of azalea?
Oh, there's no question. Yeah, I wrote down a couple of our favorites.
Okay.
The larger growing azaleas are under a category called indica azaleas.
Mm-hmm.
They're large growing. And there's three favorites that I've got. One is a Formosa. Formosa, to me, is just sort of Pensacola. It's a deep magenta-looking bloom on it.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, grows everywhere, grows big. I mean, it's big, real tall. And it's just one of my all-time favorites. The other one, this may be one you're seeing. It's not really hot pink, but it's called George Tabor. And George Tabor is kind of pink to white, kind of a subtle look, and it really is pretty. And then there's G.G. Gerbing. I have no idea who G.G. Gerbing was. I don't know.
Someone apparently very important.
Yeah, but somebody who grew white azaleas.
Okay, all right.
Because they're white. So Formosa, George Tabor, and G.G. Gerbing are probably the most planted indica azaleas.
Hmm, okay.
Really pretty. The hot pink one you're talking about could be a dwarf azalea. One of those that is just perfect is Corobel.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a hot pink.
That's what I'm seeing. I'm not really seeing the white ones yet.
Maybe Corobel. If it's a dwarf, a low-growing one, and it's white, that's logical name. Snow azalea.
Oh, nice.
But if you're going to plant a dwarf azalea, think about Corobel. You also have to think about which ones do good here in Pensacola. We all know why they do well here in Pensacola is because we have an acid soil, and these azaleas love that. So we've got indica for the large growing ones, then the dwarf, and then there's one a category kind of different. I think it's oriental, of course, called a satsuki azalea.
Oh, that sounds fancy.
And one in that group is called gumpo, not gumbo, gumpo.
Okay.
And here's one reason, glad you clarified that.
And
here's one reason. It's just not my favorite. Maybe it's just my personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
But the gumpo azalea is kind of a lower mounding type azalea.
Hmm.
And it comes in different colors, white, red, that type of thing. But I have found it maybe it's because of the age of my children when I was paying attention to this, it's kind of brittle. If you have a gumbo azalea in your yard and you've got the kids playing soccer in the yard, and that ball lands right in the middle of that gumbo azalea, it'll kind of really do some damage.
Oh, really? Now, it doesn't bounce back.
It doesn't the gumbo doesn't throw it back. No. So it's just not one of my favorites, but it is there. Then you've got, of course, the encore azaleas, which is, in the whole scheme of things, relatively new. I mean, not last week, or maybe the last decade. But the encore, of course, is just what they say they are. They are a little lower than the indicas, of course. But they bloom in the spring. They'll bloom some in the summer, and they'll bloom again in the late summer, early fall. It's a great azalea. I wasn't a real believer until I got two of them. I got two white encore azaleas, planted them on a kind of in a bed, one side and the other. And they have done just what advertised. They've bloomed a lot, and I've really enjoyed them. And you can get them in different colors also. Mm-hmm. So you might want to think about the encore azaleas. But whenever we talk about azaleas, I really like to talk about an old-fashioned semi-dwarf that I just love called Macrantha. Macrantha has kind of a reddish, deep reddish bloom to it. And it, too, kind of like the encores, will bloom a second time in the latter part of the season. So Macrantha is good. I really don't know if you can buy them anymore, but there are a lot of them that are around, and it's really kind of cool. And then the last category, and keep in mind, they're all kind of different categories of azaleas. These are just the ones that I have really learned to like. It's a native azalea. You find those kind of in the woods, in a wooded area. They're deciduous, unlike all the other azaleas, which, of course, are not. They don't lose their leaves, but the native azalea does, and it has kind of an orangish bloom. Really, really beautiful. And a lot of people who grow a lot of the native plants will grow the native azalea just because it really is a pretty plant.
Well, Mike, we got a comment from our friend Paul, who said hot Formosa, pale Tabor white, GG together. Does that make sense to you?
Say it again.
Hot Formosa, pale Tabor, T-A-B-O-R, white.
That's a George Tabor.
And white GG together. Says Florida frame. Let's see, Florida frame in my love. And I'm trying to read this. It looks like he did text to talk. Oh, Florida flame is my favorite native azalea. There you go. Sorry
Florida
about that,
flame.
Paul.
Exactly. Okay. That's now Paul. We have to go back and say, who is Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Paul is Blue Sky Landscaping. He knows what he's doing. He has sat in for me.
Oh, good. Okay.
On the garden line when I've been out of town, and really knows what he's talking about. So I agree with him. That's a Florida flame. Right?
Okay, there it is.
That's the native
Florida
azalea.
Flame.
And there's the George Tabor and the Formosa. He's right on target.
Okay,
right
there you
target.
Go.
Knows what he's talking about.
All right, we're talking azaleas this morning. We got to go to break real quick
Let's
here.
Let's do it. Then we're going to kind of finish our azalea talk. I got a couple other things to mention.
Okay, great. If you have a question or comment about azaleas or the garden line or Mike Wiggins, just text it on in at 850-437-1620. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and it's time for the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, and we're talking about azaleas this morning, just in time for spring.
Just in time for spring, and just a couple more things about azaleas. We've got a few texts I want to address, too, but let's finish this. It won't take me long. Why are the blooms so pretty right now?
They're gorgeous.
But you know why? One reason why?
The snow?
No. Is because something we did not do.
Oh.
We did not prune them in the fall. Because these blooms we're seeing now were blooms that were set late last summer.
Okay.
And that's the key. So after they bloom this year, then do your pruning. You can even do some heavy pruning. And they'll come back and be very pretty foliage-wise. They'll set their buds in July and August, and they will bloom again next year. So pruning azaleas is to have beautiful azaleas, the pruning is very, very important. The timing of pruning is very important. Also, especially on the dwarf, the pinks that you like so much, when you plant them, invariably you'll find those dwarf azaleas are root-bound in the pot from which they come.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure to loosen those roots. You know, a lot of new gardeners, and we've talked about this before, think that you're doing damage to it when you get those roots and just kind of rip them. Even get a, I've used a box cutter sometimes.
Really?
And just run the box cutter over them. And what that does, that exposes the roots so they can go out and accept the nutrients that you put on them.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, they stay just like they're in a pot because those roots are so thick and round around, and they just don't get the water and the nutrients they deserve, and sometimes they just don't do too well. Also, I like to plant azaleas in a semi-shade, maybe light shade, especially the dwarfs.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes at full sun, especially if you did not score those roots when you planted them, might have some difficulty. Now, when do you fertilize them? After they bloom. Let's fertilize them after they bloom, and what we do, we get a good azalea fertilizer and put a tight handful for every foot of height. 4 foot azalea, 4 tight handfuls, all the way around to the edge of the plant,
mm-hmm.
and water it in. Now, one thing about this, we're going to jump real quick to fertilizing the lawn, then we'll jump back.
Okay.
If you fertilize your lawn with, say, a 16-4-8, that's a good formula, mm-hmm. something close to that. That'll work for your azaleas also. It really will. So,
but you do that now. Now they've just bloomed.
They just bloomed. After they bloom, use a good 16-4-8 or a fertilizer label for azaleas and camellias and gardenias.
Mm-hmm.
Those fertilizers are for acid-covered, acid-loving plants. But that 16-4-8 lawn stuff will work pretty well also. So you don't put any lime on it. Never, never, ever do that. And if you're going to transplant them, let them bloom, enjoy them,
mm-hmm.
and then before it gets too hot, transplant them. The one thing about azaleas transplanting is that they're one of the easiest plants we have to transplant because it's got very shallow roots, and you can sometimes just kind of pry it out of the ground, whereas if you try to transplant a camellia,
mm-hmm.
it's got much deeper roots. So that's just a few things about azaleas. It's one of Pensacola's just traditional, wonderful plants that we enjoy this time of year. And so, enjoy.
Yeah, they're beautiful. No, I was telling Mike I was driving up Scenic Highway.
Yeah.
If you get just past the Apple Market, on the right-hand side, there's a big abandoned lot. I think it's been abandoned since Ivan.
I think
and
you're absolutely right.
These pink azaleas, mm-hmm. apparently were planted there when it was an apartment complex.
Right.
Well, they're just growing wild now.
And isn't it amazing
and they're beautiful.
How they're thriving there.
Yes.
No matter how hot, how cold,
yes.
how too wet, too dry.
It's really
whatever.
Amazing, I think.
They are very, very, very adapted to our soil. And that's why. And we, as we've said this on the show many times, that's one reason you've got Belly Graph Gardens in Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
They've got basically the same type of soil we've got. And so they thrive over there. And the way they take care of them over there, it's worth a trip to go look at it.
Okay.
It really is.
Now, I had a question that came in on the text line here.
Okay.
We'll go ahead and try to answer that. This is from Carolyn. She says, how do you get rid of ground pearls from a yard? And then she says, I love your program.
Well, thank you. We love you. No doubt about it. Now,
ground pearls. I don't even know what that is.
Well, ground pearls, if you're digging in the soil,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you'll see a little pink, about as big as a BB.
Okay.
It is pink. And that's ground pearl. And another name for that is ground scale.
Oh.
Yes. I don't know. And maybe if Paul's listening, he might know too. I don't think there's a real remedy for that.
Mm-hmm. What is it?
It's a scale. It's kind of an insect type.
Oh, I see.
But it's a scale.
The scale.
I don't know. It really doesn't do that much damage.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do everything else right, for example, if it's in your lawn, if you water, mow, fertilize, do everything else right, that ground scale should not be a problem for you. But insofar as chemical control, I have never found anything satisfactory to control it. So I hate to put it this way, but I wouldn't worry too much about it. I think everything else is going to be right.
Paul just echoed what you said. Unfortunately, no cure for ground pearls.
No cure for ground pearls. Yeah. Exactly.
Mike is correct, he says.
Wow. For once. There you go.
All right.
All right, Paul, good to have you back on the air with us, my friend. Thank you.
All right. And on that positive note, we're going to take a quick break here.
Let's do it.
If you've got a comment or question, it's spring gardening time, and this is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Just text it on in, 850-437-1620. We'll be back after the break. Good morning. This is Pep Talk and The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, and we're talking about azaleas this morning. And Mike, we did get a question on The Garden Line. When do you prune encore azaleas?
I would prune them after they bloom.
Okay.
I have found on mine, I don't need to prune them very much.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be a little slower growing than some of the other azaleas. But yeah, I would go ahead, let them bloom in the spring, then give them, you probably don't need to do a deep pruning on encore, like you would say other azaleas. Just give them a haircut, kind of frame, you know, clean them up, and but do that right after they bloom in the spring.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we had someone that sent in a picture of two.
They did.
Two
they
azalea
did.
Growths in
I,
their yard.
And I think they look a little like George Tabor, but not quite.
Mm-hmm.
They look a little bit like Formosa, but not quite.
Okay.
So I believe it's just, it's an indica azalea for sure.
That was the one on the left.
Yeah, variety-wise, I'm not totally sure which one that is.
Mm-hmm.
But I say it's an indica azalea. I would imagine it's a taller growing, I say it is because it's an indica, taller growing azalea. If the person who sent the pictures could kind of tell us what the growth looks like, whether it's big, or looks like a dwarf, because
mm-hmm.
the pictures didn't show that.
Right.
We'd like to know. That might be able to frame it up a little bit better, but they were beautiful.
Yes, beautiful.
They were just beautiful. Exactly.
Really pretty.
Thanks for the picture. We appreciate it. Wish we could be more definitive about exact variety, but they're very, very pretty.
And if you've got a question or a comment, 850-437-1620.
Very good. Very good. Okay. Couple things we need to talk about.
All right, okay.
Kind of go through here. One, I think it's leave azaleas. Go to lawn fertilizer. We talked a lot about that last week, but I think we need to just say again that do the best you can to delay it till we get to mid to late April, and the experts at IFAS will tell you even wait till May. Hard to do because you want to get out there and do it.
Mm-hmm.
But wait. And whatever you do, though, and boy, we sound like a broken record here, do not go into the weed and feed situation. It's getting a little late to spray that atrazine. You can do it again to inhibit some of the summer weeds. Dimension, atrazine, you could go ahead and do that. But the fertilizer itself, I would certainly wait. I'm probably going to cheat a little bit and do mine probably about the third week in April. And I think that'll be fine. The grass is growing. And of course, a lot of the weeds are out there.
Mm-hmm.
If your grass it looks like it needs mowing, do it. Some people just kind of delay it. Now there is, and you have to respect this too, the no mow March philosophy.
Gotcha.
Where people say don't mow at all in March because it helps with the pollinators.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. But if you've got weeds that are just kind of coming up and you may need to mow it to kind of get those cleaned up and taken off so they don't reseed.
All right.
So some big decisions you have to make.
Okay. Well, we're going to wrap it up for now. We've got news coming up next, and then we will be back with The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins right here on Pep Talk.
County fair in the country, son.
You do know that on that song, that's Sly Sisters.
Oh.
Yes, part of the song is All My Sisters and Me.
Yeah, so school's out, so the kids are out. It's perfect for today.
Perfect.
This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel on News Radio 92.3. No, we haven't changed the format into a music station, not just yet. Exactly. But if you have a comment.
Mike and Meg's favorites. Yeah.
If you have a comment, this is the Garden Line. We're getting ready for spring. 850-437-1620. Feel free to text in your questions.
Meg, you got a great picture over here.
Yes. Oh my gosh, it's gorgeous.
It really is pretty. And I saw one the other day, and I was just so pleased to see it. It means spring is here. It's a picture of a pergola, if mm-hmm. you will, covered with wisteria.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
And it's so beautiful. Blue, just
kind of
huge,
purplish,
very
lavender.
Mature. You can look at the trunks, and it's just very mature and just has totally covered this pergola. And really is kind of going over the edges.
I thought they were trees. I said, what tree is that? He goes, no, it's wisteria.
A lot of the times wisteria will grow up trees.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, though, way back in the day, I had a customer who said, why won't it bloom like everybody else's? And so I did a little research, and I found out that wisteria blooms when it wants to.
Okay.
There was no real solution. It just blooms when it wants to. But around Pensacola, you're going to see it everywhere. It's just a great plant. It'll take over.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about it. But it really is beautiful. I appreciate the picture that they sent us.
It's beautiful.
It makes us know that spring is here.
Okay.
Well, it's totally deciduous. I mean, it was bare. Then all of a sudden, here mm-hmm. it comes and blooms. It's just beautiful.
Okay, we've got a couple questions pouring in now.
Yeah,
so first one, hey, Mike, what is the best time to apply weed and feed, and why do you not like it? Thanks, Max.
Okay, Max, great question. I don't like to apply it at all. Ever, because here's the deal, and we really have talked about this on the Garden Line because it's important, and I appreciate the question. Weed and feed fertilizer, as a rule, has a formula of fertilizer in it, the feed portion, if you will, that is a high nitrogen fertilizer. Okay, and that's fine. The weed part is usually, well, I'm going to use atrazine. A lot of them have atrazine. Other chemicals in there as the weed part, which is also fine. But the timing is all wrong. You put a weed and feed on early. Remember now, when we talk about putting a pre-emergence weed control on, which is the weed part of a weed and feed, we like it mid to late February because you've got to get it on before those weeds emerge.
Mm-hmm.
The fertilizer part, we've just talked about that a minute ago, we would rather do that in late April and May. So you've got a real timing problem there. If you put the weed and feed on early, pretty good for putting the weed part on, but you're putting the fertilizer on way too early when the grass is almost or still dormant, and it's just not going to do any good. By the same token, if you put the weed and feed on late, that weed part could sometimes damage your yard if the temperatures have gotten too hot. So we separate it. We put the pre-emergence weed control, the weed part, on in February, maybe early March, using a Dimension or atrazine or one of those, then put the fertilizer on, the 1608, 2244, one of those type formulas, on in, like we talked about a minute ago,
mm-hmm.
mid-April to May. So thanks for the question, Max.
Great, good question.
It's just a timing situation. Is it, number one, if you put the weed and feed on early, is that fertilizer going to hurt anything? Probably not, but you've kind of wasted your money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just not really going to do any good. But if you put the weed and feed on late, then you may have some trouble with the weed killer in that fertilizer doing damage.
That makes perfect sense. So if you do have a question like Max, just text it on in at 850-437-1620. Here's another one, Mike, that says, I apologize for my ignorance.
No, I do that all the time.
Me too. But how does grass help pollinators? I thought that was only flowering plants.
Yeah, I think it's, for once, for whatever reason, and the no-mo March philosophy is, if that grass grows high, it gives an environment that's where the pollinators can grow and thrive.
Okay.
And, and then go out and do their thing.
That makes sense.
I think that's it. As opposed to mowing the grass at the regular height. We don't scalp it. We never do that. St. Augustine, for example, at 4 inches, or even Centipede at 3 inches, it doesn't give the pollinators and environment what they would enjoy in order to thrive.
Okay.
I think that's what people are saying when they say don't mow in March.
Okay, that makes sense too. So yeah, thank you for the question.
So that was a great question.
Yes.
Great question. Now, if somebody who's listening is a member of the No Mow March
Club.
let us know your philosophy. See if I'm right on that. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that's all the questions for the moment. But if you do have a question for the Garden Line and Mike Wiggins, 850-437-1620.
You know what I thought we might do? Talk a little bit about vegetable gardening.
Yes. But, is now the time?
We're getting right here. Now is the time. But some people don't have space for a big vegetable garden.
Mm-hmm.
So I always say you don't need to fill in your swimming pool to make your garden, and you don't need to have a back 40. Your flower bed, many times you can put some of these vegetables in your flower bed. It varies. Well, of course.
Oh.
So it's getting water. It's getting good soil.
Mm-hmm.
You may have room in your flower beds. So I had a checklist for spring that I used to use all the time. And one of the checklists was plant a tomato plant. If you don't plant any other vegetable, plant one tomato plant. So I thought we might talk about that for just a minute.
Oh, that'd be great.
Okay. Now, there's different varieties of tomato plants. Our listeners have their favorite. But here's just a couple of tomato plants that I think you might want to consider. One is Early Girl. Now, Early Girl, maybe this is just propaganda, but the people who specialize in early girl tomatoes say it's the first to produce and the last to finish producing, which is what you want, and it does produce early. So look for Early Girl if you want to just plant one. But probably the favorite tomato plant, I think maybe above all, is Better Boy.
Better Boy.
Better Boy. It'll produce in about 70 to 80 days. And it's just a great, it'll grow, you got to sometimes stake it because it grows so tall.
Mm-hmm.
But it really will do a beautiful tomato. Another one that a lot of people don't know, I shouldn't say don't know, don't plant, but it's good, is Celebrity. Celebrity. So those are three of the favorites. Now, if you're going to plant a tomato plant, and I believe still on the label you're going to find three letters. Remember we talked about that?
Mm-hmm.
There are three letters that might be on that label of tomato plant. V, F, N. The V and the F are viruses, fungus, if you will, that if it's on the label, that means it's resistant. Not immune, but resistant. And the N is for nematodes. Nematodes are a microscopic worm that will attack the roots of plants, but they will attack your tomato plants and do them damage. So if it has VFN, your plant is going to be resistant to some of these maladies. One other thing that these tomatoes, I don't care which ones you have, you may get the wilt. That's just a great term, and it's the truth. Because you grow that tomato plant, you baby it, you have it looking so great, you fertilize it, you've sprayed it, you've done everything. Beautiful. In the afternoon, you check it out and you tell it good night. You go out the next morning and it looks like somebody's poured boiling water.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that.
You know, it just looks like an old dog ear just hanging there. There's one solution to that. Dig it up and throw it away.
There's
nothing you're going to do for the wilt. And it doesn't always happen, but you know, could be the environment, could be the plant, whatever. But if it gets the wilt, you about had it. But look for that VFN. That makes that plant resistant to some of the maladies that those tomato plants get.
All right. We're talking all things gardening on the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. If you got a question or comment, 850-437-1620. Got to take a break, but we'll be right back. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. We've been talking about azaleas and tomato plants.
Tomato plants, you know. Okay, now, Nick, you have them. Your daddy.
Yes.
You and I have been talking, grew some great stuff.
Oh, my dad was the best gardener in the world, and he loved gardening. He was a tinkerer gardener. He'd be out there tinkering with the garden all the time.
And you said he grew stuff that was tough to grow.
He would challenge himself. He'd find something that's not supposed to grow, and he would work on it, and it would grow. But he could grow tomatoes, I got to tell you. He would grow these beefsteak tomatoes.
Absolutely.
Big, bright red, juicy, and it spoiled me because I don't like grocery store tomatoes at all because of that. Because those beefsteak ones,
you can grow beefsteak tomatoes. That's just another one you can grow here in Pensacola.
Can you? Okay, because they were so good. Oh my goodness!
And then
he also did the plum tomatoes.
Plum tomatoes,
not cherry.
Exactly. No, it's a little bigger. It's bigger than a cherry.
But they also would come out real like bright, deep, dark red.
Yes.
Not the kind of orangey that you get in the store, but it did too.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and we didn't talk about the red cherry tomatoes either.
Right.
Or the grape tomatoes. That, you know, obviously you can walk out in the summertime and pick them and eat them
right there on
the spot.
Right.
So if you've got that one vegetable plant you're going to plant.
Okay, so you could grow a, I could grow a beefsteak.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right.
No question about it. Okay, now, other vegetables, we won't dwell on it, but I do want to mention some. We've got our Florida Panhandle Planting Guide. Remember that one?
Yes,
That IFAS put out?
Uh-huh.
The Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences from Gainesville. So I just went through here and looked at some of the ones you may want to plant in March and April.
Okay.
You ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Kind of
get
a
your
list.
Pens out. Get your list ready.
Okay. Bush beans. You plant those with seeds, of course. Pole beans. I like the flat beans myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a Kentucky Wonder. Is a bean you can plant that's great. It's a flat bean, and it's really good. Lima beans you can plant now. Cantaloupe.
Really?
Absolutely. Okay. How about sweet corn?
Oh.
Oh, yeah, sweet corn. Just, you got to have some room for that.
I was going to say, I may not have enough room in my
patio
for that.
That's not that one plant you want to plant.
Right.
But if you've got room, of course, it's just, you know, tastes so good. Cucumbers. They're going to run on you, of course. Where are we here? Black-eyed peas? Southern peas? Sure. I wanted to say okra, but okra, you need to wait till it gets a little warmer. That's a hot weather vegetable.
Mm.
But that's just one you can plant.
You could just skip right on by that one.
We'll go to radishes.
I don't like okra.
radishes are fun. Radishes, I've always said, this is probably silly, is a great grandparent plant with grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
Radishes, easy to plant, easy to grow. They're going to come up, and you pull them up, and you show those grandchildren, where does our food come from?
Right.
It comes from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Okay, where else we got here? Summer squash.
Oh, yum.
Absolutely. Zucchini squash.
Yum.
Absolutely. Watermelon.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So, and then, of course, it's more than that, but these are some that IFAS puts in the March and April planting category.
So if you want those
for North Florida,
you need to plant those now.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. Now, when I say sure, remember.
Qualifier.
Remember, a little qualifier here. Wiggins said a minute ago that there's no more frost, no more freezes, and the first week in April is the last time we are in the 40s. I'm going to stick to it until I'm wrong. So anyway, that's that. One thing back by the tomatoes, real quick. Be sure full sun. We don't want to kid ourselves. You plant them in the shade, they're just not going to do well. If you're going to plant multiple tomato plants, put them at least 36 inches apart.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important. And also the last thing, and we mentioned this before, when you go to buy vegetable plants, you'll see the racks of them, and many of them will have a little sign on it that they were grown by Bonnie Plant Farm. Remember we talked about that?
Mm-hmm.
Bonnie Plant Farm is in Union Springs, Alabama, one of the largest grower of vegetable transplants, I may say in the world, because they serve the Birmingham market, the Atlanta market, Florida market.
Wow.
They are amazing. And so many of your garden centers are serviced by Bonnie Plants. They used to come in and they would take the dead ones, take them away, put new ones in, you know, things that, you know, just hadn't survived being in the marketplace. But if you find some that have been grown by Bonnie Plant Farm, You've got some. You should have some very healthy plants. So.
Okay. So a comment here from Paul, and he said that Everglades is a native tomato, and it's delicious. It's the cherry tomato variety.
Everglades.
I think it's yes, Everglades.
Okay.
Everglades.
I've never had anything to do with that.
That's what he says. Yeah.
Everglades. Good.
Okay.
But it's a cherry tomato.
Yes,
like,
it's a cherry.
Like red cherry or.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
says
okay,
it's really delicious.
Perfect.
Then we did have a question that came in, and I want to answer this question. This is a good question. When you say full sun, how does that work? Have had full sun plants, but the Pensacola sun just destroys it.
I hear you. But if you're going to grow, let's say, if you're going to grow a tomato plant, by the time we get into the mid to late summer, it's mm-hmm. probably had its best day. It just does better in full sun and no shade. You don't see many vegetable gardens planted, even by the experts, in the shade.
Mm-hmm.
It just really doesn't work that way. There's just so many plants that really like the full sun. I'd go back to ornamental grasses, pampas grass, muley grass, crepe myrtles, full sun, that type of thing. Vinca, periwinkle. I'm jumping around different varieties of plants.
Mm-hmm.
Are full sun plants.
Mm-hmm.
Sun patiens, which are
I love impatiens.
Impatiens, of course, are two categories. You've got the shade loving ones,
mm-hmm.
then the sun patiens, which are, you know, when I say relatively new, probably 10 years, but they are fabulous. The colors. When you go to your garden center, if nothing else, go look at the sun patiens. My favorite, and I plant these in a little bed in front of my house, are orange. I mean a vibrant orange. But it's a full sun plant. A little bit of shade on that may not be too bad, but more sun, the better.
Okay. On that note, we're going to take a quick
question. Though.
It is a great question. We'll be back in just a minute with the Garden Line and Mike Wiggins, 850-437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk with Mike and the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. Just a couple minutes left, Mike. So what do you want to touch on here?
Well, just a couple of things. We talked about timing, about fertilizer and all that
mm-hmm.
earlier today. Insofar as sodding your lawn, let's say you've got centipede lawn, and you've got an area that didn't come back
mm-hmm.
this year. Okay, a couple things you can do. You can sod that area, and you can do that right now. You can do that right now. Timing is just fine. But if you want to seed with centipede seed, it's too early. It's kind of like that fertilizer discussion.
Mm-hmm.
We need the soil to be warm. I've used an analogy, it's a story, which probably makes no sense at all. But when you feel really good about going and jumping in the Gulf, swimming, you can plant your centipede seed.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's the indicator.
But I have to tell you this. I asked our audience, when was it? Maybe a month or so ago, if anybody has ever planted Zenith Zoysia grass. If you've got a zoysia lawn and say you've got a patch that maybe you spill some gasoline or maybe it's dog damage, who
mm-hmm.
knows, and you want to just put some new zoysia grass in there, you can sod it. Go for it. But there is a Zenith zoysia seed, which I've never planted, never had a customer plant it, but I saw it in a garden center. It's available. If anybody's ever planted that, next week, call me.
All right.
Let's talk about it.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike. As always, a great show on the Garden Line on Pep Talk. We'll be back next week. And you can rehear this broadcast on Saturday or on our podcast, which is at newsradio923.com. We'll be back after the news.